Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I need your help for this sermon, and I realize I didn't do my own job here, but I need you to grab a pillow. Maybe you've got one there on your couch or one at hand, or maybe you're still lounging in your bed. You haven't gotten up yet, which I don't blame you. But grab one. Maybe it's in another room. Let me see what I can find here. I'll step off camera for just a second. My pillow is a little big, but this is one of the couch pillows here down we have in the family room where I'm live from. And maybe you like a big pillow, you know, you like one that's some firmness. Maybe you like those travel pillows. I got one for my wife a little bit ago. Speak of that. So here's a good example. You know, whenever we, somehow you get this thing on. Before the pandemic, when we would go on occasional airplane rides, I got this for my wife so she could take a nice break on the plane. But whatever it is, whatever your looks like, I want you to hang tight to this pillow as we think about this passage today. Because our scripture story tells the story of creation. It's the very first verse in the whole Bible. If you've ever tried to pick up the Bible from the first page and read, you're going to encounter this passage right away. And of course, I'm going to be clear here, it's not a scientific story. And I know there have been times where Christians have claimed that this is like a scientific textbook about how the world was put together. But I don't think the ancient Jewish people who told these stories and recorded them, I don't think they saw it as a textbook. And I think we miss something when we try to read it in that way. We lose what the people of faith are. Ancestors in faith are sharing with us. But it does say something very important about who God is. Because at the end of the passage in Genesis chapter 2 verse 2, God rests. God creates this landscape and this world, drawing brushstrokes to lay the foundation and hang sun and moon and sprout lush vegetation and even those creepy crawly things, which some of you would probably have argued with about God creating. But in the whole process, God paints this incredible, incredible, vivid landscape in which we live and cosmos. And God says, it is good. And God didn't say, maybe I'll redo that. Or God didn't say, that could have gone out a little bit better. But God says, it is good. And when it was all done, the Creator, the Alpha and Omega, pulled out a divine pillow. Maybe it was a travel pillow. Maybe it was something like you have in your hands. And laid down and took a long nap. God took the day off. I wonder what it would look like right now if all of humanity and all of creation could take a day off. Of course, it doesn't really feel like in this moment we can take a day off. We are still in the midst of a pandemic that is causing us great stress and fear. And though the numbers keep ticking upward, we're also at an inflection moment in our culture, confronted again with the reality of injustice and racism that keeps wounding us and tearing us apart. How can you take a day off when our neighbors are rising up to march for justice? How can we take a day off when we are surrounded by a system that is literally choking the life out of black and brown lives? How can we take a day off when too many are lining up for food resources? Too many can't pay rent. Too many have little hope in the future that lies ahead. Ijeoma Oluo, a black author and activist, cried out on her social media feed this week as she thought about this long-continued struggle for her community. She writes, "When is our chance to rest, to recover? For how many generations will we have to fight to survive? When," and these are my words, "when might we be able to finally take a day off and just breathe. Breathe the goodness of this creation. Another way to look at Genesis chapter 1 is as a spiritual protest against a vile narratives that were present in the day in the ancient Middle East. Because there are other creation stories in the ancient Middle East about how human beings and the world are products of violence and chaos. In the Gilgamesh story, for instance, two powerful gods go to war against each other. And in their violence, and in they crush and they battle each other, the continents are shaped. And finally, when one god is wounded and killed, each drop of blood from this deity lands upon the earth, and where it lands, it becomes a human being. So in other words, we are made out of violence and chaos. But then we hear in Genesis 1, these ancient Jewish scholars and storytellers and faithful proclaiming an alternative, where all of creation is not a byproduct of chaos and violence, but a product of a God with a plan. A God who has imagined and brought into being something good. Creation is laid out carefully with love, with God taking a step back every part of every day. Every step in the creation process to marvel at how beautiful and right it is. This is an image of a creator who is intimately involved in the tiny details of the lives of all living things, including the smallest insects and the sometimes annoying weeds that sprout up wherever we look. This image that we get from Genesis 1 and 2 is not a giant white-bearded man in heaven, but more of a loving mother decorating a nursery in excited anticipation for the coming of her loved ones, making sure everything is just right. And rather than recede from the picture or go off and work on some other project, God lingers, taking the well-deserved break before diving back into the clay and muck and beauty of life. Genesis 1 and 2 for me speaks this truth that our Creator infused human beings and all of the earth and cosmos with the desire to flourish and the capacity to rest. The desire to flourish and the capacity to rest. Right now, as people march and cry out and work in all kinds of different ways for justice, we recognize that we humans have found ever destructive ways to take this incredible gift of life and creation and mess it up. We have created instruments of war and ways of life that rob the breath from our neighbors and steal the life from the soil, quite literally. Sometimes we have simply settled for the status quo. Although sometimes, when the time was right, we have risen up and worked to correct some of those awful mistakes. And of course, I think that is exactly what God desires of us and expects of us. God expects us to use our hands and feet and our minds to be fruitful with each day that we are given, to shape this earth and be better caretakers of this gift that we receive. God's plan for us and desire for all of creation was not that we would struggle day in and day out in an endless loop of exhaustion and gasping for breath, but that we should be able, like our loving Creator, to step back and rest in the fullness and beauty of who we are. When George Floyd cried out, "I can't breathe," when so many others cry out for breath right now in our streets, in homes, in hospitals. When even as Reverend William Barber said this week in an interview, that all of democracy is crying out for breath. What we are experiencing is not God's will or God's design for us. God created and designed a world in which we all may breathe. God desires in creation which no one should struggle for justice and equality every day. God longs for a cosmos that is permeated with love for all things and all people. God has given us in these first chapters of Genesis a vision of where we might go as a human family. And as is often the case, God points down that road and invites us along the journey, challenging us to do our work and our struggle along the way to correct sometimes the ways that we have messed it up. The truth is, we all have a part in this work. Whether we have been part of the status quo, whether we have looked away as our neighbors have cried out for breath, whether we have suffered silently, whether we have been marching all of our lives. As a church, as University Christian Church, as the church at the intersection, we haven't been a part and will continue to be a part of that kind of work. Certainly, we haven't always gotten it right. But I think about those times, like in the day center, when the day center was able to gather in our building before this pandemic, and I would be running an errand in the church, going around picking up something, checking on something. Sometimes I needed to step into the sanctuary during the day center hours, and I would walk through those doors and was lost in thought, and then become suddenly aware that there were neighbors in need who came into the sanctuary to lay down on our seats and rest and sleep. For them, sometimes sleeping out in the streets, it was difficult. It's difficult to find a quiet place, a safe place to lay their head. And how grateful they are to come into that quiet, peaceful sanctuary and lay down and know that they can rest undisturbed. That's what God desires for those who are hurting and those who are struggling, places to rest and the refuge of our Lord, of our Creator. And our work as churches is to make sure no one ever has to struggle to find a place to rest, so that we don't need sanctuaries in the future for people to lay their heads, but all have safety and security in this land and in this world. And as a church, we did it again on Thursday night when we, with close to 400 neighbors gathering at our intersection for 8 minutes and 46 seconds of silence and vigil, listening and dreaming and challenging one another to live into a world where no one has to struggle for breath. I'm proud of you, church, for being the church at the intersection in this difficult time. So today is Sunday, and the week lies ahead, and it's not a week for us to lounge around. God was productive and flourished in the creative gift of laying out each day and all of the beauty of this earth. So this is a week for us to join in God with that kind of work and choose to shape the kind of world that we want to create for others and for ourselves. So I wonder how you will commit to helping your neighbors breathe a little more deeply this week. Maybe you can type that in the comments and share it with us of one thing that you're going to do to help someone around you breathe a little easier. And then, of course, take the day off. Maybe you need to take today off. This is the day of the Lord after all. I give you permission, this is your pastor speaking, I give you permission to use your pillow this afternoon and take a blessed nap, mindful of all those who are struggling to rest right now. And then with that renewed sense of energy, move into action so that all may flourish and all may take a rest from the struggles of this time, because they don't have to struggle anymore. Thanks be to God for that call and for the gift and beauty and wonder of creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.